designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain silly or content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yes, indeed, indeed.
We are back.
It's weird. Haven't done the show in a while.
It's the longest break I've had in about 10 years.
On this show?
Yeah.
From this show?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. I did a little traveling, but a little work as well. Drew's unwrapping something. If you want to know what the sound is in the background that Drew never explains, Drew's got a present from who?
David and Courtney Arquette.
David and Courtney Arquette has sent Drew a gift.
You too. No, and you too.
Oh, and I got a gift too.
Same thing, yeah.
We got brass monkeys from them. Now, why would they send us? I mean, I'm glad they sent us a gift, but we've never received a gift from the Arquettes, have we?
Well, now we'll have to start reciprocating.
All right. You're lucky I don't know what reciprocation means, Drew. I saw Drew Friday night. We went to the car show together.
Yeah.
Drew's not allowed to do things, except for if he brings his sons, it's okay for him to do things because it's not him doing it, it's them doing it.
Well.
So it's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So we had a good time.
We did have a good time, and I prepped my sons carefully. I said, you know, guys, first thing Adam's going to do, maybe not first thing, but all you're going to hear about is how great you have it and how horrible his life was and how these kinds of things didn't come along for him, and you guys should appreciate it. How many minutes did it take you to launch into that?
It's about...
Six, eight minutes.
Well, I was eating. I was getting food. My mouth was full, so I couldn't get into it. But, you know, when the kids gave me the lukewarm response about playing Pop Warner again next year.
That's when you went off.
That's when I had to go off on the punks. Yeah. You know, as kids, you know, here's the problem with kids today. Here's the problem with your kids. Yeah. They got so much going on that no one thing could ever be that great. I mean, there's so much excitement, there's so much stimulation, there's so many things to do. There's not that one thing. Like, you would look forward to Christmas once a year.
Right.
Because your life was hell.
Yeah.
And there was 2 days out of the year where it wasn't hell. And you would build your whole life around those 2 days that weren't hell, right?
Yeah.
I realize that kids, and I don't know how your kids are, but I have friends who have kids, you know, successful people, the kids. Christmas is nice for them, but they got a room full of junk anyway. I mean, they get stuff during the year.
Yeah. And then there's immediately on to, well, what's next? What's next? Well, I'm excited about what's coming next. I'm excited about this thing.
Right. Right. I think that's a good problem to have. But anyway, Drew and I took the boys and a couple of my buddies and tooled around the auto show out here. Yes.
The S4 and the S6 in Detroit.
Mm.
You want to talk about that?
I just want to say that the Los Angeles Auto Show, for a place that buys more cars than any city in the world, is always gets the shiv. And never gets the good stuff, never gets the good prototypes, never gets anything good. LA Auto Show basically sucks compared to most of the other auto shows. I mean, Detroit and stuff that goes on in Europe and Germany, England, that kind of stuff. New York all has a better auto show than we have. And I don't understand why when we sell more Porsches in Los Angeles than they do in Germany.
Don't worry, folks. Adam yelled about that every car manufacturer that listens.
I had a couple of highballs by that point, Drew, but I'd had an ass full of these car dealers, these manufacturers not bringing over the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you let them know. No uncertain terms.
Well, I want them to report back to their bosses.
That's what you told them to do.
I like Audis. Me and Drew went to go look at the Audi. We're always talking about the Audis, and they had all the crappy Audis and none of the good Audis. They don't bring the good ones over. Those are in Detroit.
Where is the S4? Well, where is the S4? That's very funny. It's good. It's good. He heard you.
Yeah. Got a little fired up. That was the booze talking. Kelly?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, I've been dating somebody for about 6 months, and I'm a virgin. And I'm really getting close to them. But the one thing is, even though there's condoms, I just always still get... I just get paranoid at the idea of wanting to have sex.
Wait. Have you ever had sex before?
No.
No.
Virgin.
No.
You're 24.
Right. Yeah.
You've been dating a guy for how long?
6 months.
6 months. And it's come time to have a physical relationship, and you're paranoid. You're freaked out.
Yeah.
And what is it you're freaked out is going to happen? You're going to get pregnant?
No, just all the other stuff. I mean, not just that, but all the things in the world. And I'm a natural worrywart. And, you know, I said...
So be more explicit with me. What is it that's going to happen to you?
I'm just worried about, you know, diseases and things.
Does
like
he
that.
Have a disease?
No.
Is there and listen, worrywart is a very, very forgiving term for what you really are. Just you're paranoid to some degree.
Oh, I mean, obviously, I waited so long, but...
I know. What's wrong with you?
What scared you so much?
I can't trust people.
What happened? What'd your dad do? Yeah. Let's just get the new year started off right.
When did your dad rape you?
No.
What did your dad do?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
That's part of the problem.
well, basically, I was in a past relationship with someone, and we've done anal sex. And we've used protection, but then...
Oh, well, Kelly, you've broken all the molds now. It's a good way to start the new year. Hold on a second.
You had anal with...
Wait a minute.
In a prior relationship?
Yeah.
Let me just stand back a second, and if I had to pick the highest probability of transmitting an STD, that would be the act. Yeah. So how is it you engage in that act, but you can't do something that's a little safer?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just... I just get
physical abuse. Why? Did somebody smack you around when you were a kid?
pretty much.
Somebody just beat you up pretty good. Because if that kind of arousal is appealing to you, and something that's more intimate is like overwhelming, it's what we call somatic dissociation. It's like you're disconnected from your body. And kids that were physically abused have the highest probability of having that kind of dissociation.
Paranoid.
Yeah. It's a disconnect. It's just a disconnect. And being in an intimate encounter with real physical contact throws you back into the horrors of the abuse and the lack of trust and the vulnerability and all that. And so really, this time to take a look at all that, I think, Kelly. And maybe at 24, you've never been able to have a real relationship. The one guy she has with sort of abuses her, has sexual intercourse with her, with her anus. And then,
he abused her anus, Drew. Well, wait a second.
I've been broadcasting long enough. I just called it sexual intercourse through the anus. I want you to know.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Did you have the anal intercourse? You can say anal intercourse, right?
We've been so desensitized that we're 2 weeks off this show, and we can't say intercourse without cracking up now.
Yeah, this is funny.
Well, what's the matter with us?
Hey, Kelly?
Yeah.
Did you do this to maintain your virginity?
Pretty much, yeah.
No. You did it because that's what this guy wanted to do.
Yeah.
Well,
this
have
guy
sex.
Was an abusive user.
But that's one of those things like... Honey, good news and bad news. Bad news is I'm a virgin and I plan on staying a virgin. Good news, back door's wide open. I mean, imagine the guy is having to process this.
Oh, it was like, I need a chalkboard. Excuse me. Taking notes. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, got it.
Adam?
Well, now, wait a minute. But here, Kelly, this is what therapy is designed for situations like this, when you can't have normal intimate relationships and you rely on what's called dissociation as a way of managing overwhelming feelings. Not good. Can be treated. Take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, my problem with vacations, it feels right to me.
To be on vacation?
Yeah, work doesn't feel right. Work is uncomfortable and intrusive, and it feels like it's interrupting my TV watching. I sit home. Watched 14 hours worth of TV?
No, you didn't.
And a towel?
No, you didn't, because you slept for 14 hours and you watched 10 hours of TV. Right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you not just sleep your ass off this vacation?
I did a lot of sleeping and did a lot of TV watching, and my day was perfect. It was like, wow, this seems like I'm working pretty hard. I'm TiVoing. I'm
what
doing a lot
that?
Of rewinding.
It's 3 p.m. and you're thinking, I should have breakfast. What is that?
I don't know. Whatever it is... I'm not one of these guys that doesn't work for 3 days and starts getting antsy. I don't work. Feels just right. Adam?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back.
You're 17. What's going on?
All right. Backstory is my... I've been friends
backstory,
with,
excuse me.
I've been friends with this... Well, this... I've been friends with this kid since as long as I can remember, and he's had this girlfriend for 2 years, and he invites me to this party on New Year's Eve. And I go to this party... And I have a few drinks, and so does everybody else, and I'm feeling pretty good. And she gets mad because my best friend's girlfriend gets mad because I'm flirting with this other girl. And
because she doesn't approve of that girl or because she's got it on for you?
I think she has it on for me. And then, so I ask her what's the matter, and she tells me she likes me and tries to kiss me. So I push her away thinking she's drunk, and not only that, but she's my best friend's girlfriend. And so she asked me whether I like her or not, and honestly, I do, so I tell her I kind of do, but that still doesn't change the fact. And she's been fighting with her boyfriend ever since.
Now, hold on a second. You're drunk, and there's this girl you sort of like, and she's trying to kiss you, and you push her away?
So his best friend's
my
girlfriend.
My best friend's girlfriend.
Who's also there. He's there, right?
Your best friend's there?
Yeah, he's there. Oh, yeah. He's there. He's the one that invited me.
All right,
so she's been fighting with her boyfriend, my best friend, ever since. But she goes on vacation, and she calls me from Florida, where she's at, and says that I'm not going to break up with him until I get back, and I want to know what you think about this. And I'm into her, but she's my best friend's girlfriend, and I kind of get the vibe that she likes me, but the sole purpose she likes me is because she's trying to break up with him.
Yeah, well, she's sort of signaling the bullpen.
Yeah.
She's saying, I want to break up with this guy, but I want to make sure that you're ready to go so there's no downtime.
It's that phone call.
This is like you're setting up a job.
Yeah.
You get the job locked in. You tell your boss, I'll give you 2 weeks' notice. Then you call the new guy and say, I'll start in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is what's going on.
However, haven't we agreed that there's a six-month window that must be sort of met, paid attention to?
Is this,
if it's a best friend?
This is your true best friend? He's a good guy?
This is the best friend that I've had since T-ball.
Okay.
As long as I can remember.
Okay.
Boy, you need 6 months.
Hold on. Since when you call anal sex T-ball? We just called it, butt boffin. Where's he calling from? Chicago?
T-ball in Chicago.
T-balling? Okay. All right. Anyway, learn something every night. Anyway, Adam?
Need a 6 month cooling off period.
Yeah. And this chick's a little chaotic.
So I shouldn't touch her at all.
Yeah, she could cause troubles. And is this guy really in love with her?
He tells me that he is.
All right. Stay away from her.
All right.
You're a good guy. You know what? You're a good guy. Girls like you. You don't need this one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like he's completely sold on her anyway. And she's got a little energy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody that screws around with best friends is sort of fishing for trouble. You know what I mean?
It's
a boundary violation.
It's early chaos.
Yeah.
It's house,
chaos light.
It's 16, 17-year-old girls. They can't quite... I mean, they can start getting into some heavy stuff, but this is where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take a look at this. I'd like to do a little study.
Chronicle chaos? The chaos chronicles?
Yeah, we all know women who are sort of into that chronic chaos, and there's guys that are that way too, but it doesn't always manifest. They get in trouble with the law more than they get in trouble in their relationships.
Yeah,
although
that's the guys.
Right, the guys. Yeah. But the girls who have the constant chaos, there's always some cheating, there's some boundary problems. And later on, they start making porn movies and prostitution.
They go that way, or they have multiple partners, husbands, screwed up families, that kind of thing.
They start doing that. But I would bet that most of this stuff starts 15, 16, 17 with the high school
boyfriend. Oh, you
want to
see how it gets going. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what's the stepping stone relationship?
Is it a progression, or does it start full throttle?
No, I think it's progression, just like it is with stuff like crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Guy starts off dealing weed, and then he ends up killing people later on in life.
And if it starts a certain age, probably a certain meaning. It starts at 12 as opposed to 15.
Right.
It means worse things.
We got to look into this, Drew.
Interesting.
Tracy?
Yeah.
You're 32?
Yeah.
Your doctor suggests lithium to calm you down?
Yeah.
Why?
sorry. There is a certain actor that when I watch the movies that he's in, I like get off, like just watching the movie.
You have an orgasm?
I come close to it. It's like my heartbeat gets faster, like quite a bit faster. Mm-hmm. My knees get numb. I'm watching a movie now with him in it. And it's like I'm shaking so hard that I'm like, I can't, can hardly hold the phone.
Who are we talking about?
I don't want to say.
You have to say or I'm going to hang up on you.
We had this exact same call like 2 years ago. And she said she wanted to say, yeah.
Say this, her?
What?
Did you call here once before?
No.
No.
Tracy?
Well, whenever anything happens to any human, you can bet it happens to others. You know what I'm saying? So tell us who this is so we can continue the conversation.
It's Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Boy. Adam, it's weak leg, too.
Such a great actor, Keanu. You know, it's so funny. I turned the TV on the other day, as I do 17, 18 times a day. I literally watch. I probably average about... I average about 7 hours of TV a day. That's and you know how the volume will come on the TV sometimes before the picture comes on for about 2 or 3 seconds? I heard horrible acting coming out of the TV set for like 2.5 seconds before the picture came on. I just heard like, okay, go for it. And I thought, Keanu Reeves, and pow, his head showed up. And I thought, wow. Like, my horrible acting Spidey sense was tingling.
Yes.
And there he was. I think it was a Sweet September or something. Like, he played a cigar store Indian in that, I think. Oh, no, wait a minute.
That'd be good.
That would be the role of Keanu's life.
But no, let's not disparage Tracy's preoccupations here.
He's hot, though.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's hot, Tracy.
He's hot. And his band is great. All right. So, what movie you like with him in it?
Actually, I like Sweet November.
Oh yeah,
that's what you mentioned.
He's awesome in that. That movie's such a flaming turd. It's ridiculous. First off, there's what's her name? That super hot chick, who's that actress? She used to go out with Steven from Third Eye Blind.
Oh.
She's got like five names.
Charlene.
Theron.
Charlene Theron.
Yeah, so she's this super hot sort of free spirit chick who's trying to get Keanu Reeves out of his uptight, button-down lifestyle. And she's like saying to him, come on, let's come up to my apartment. He's like, no, thank you. The guy's like 29. Like, you don't understand? Listen. Charlize Theron is a super hot chick. Like, what 30-year-old straight guy is not going to go up to her San Francisco apartment and just bang the bejesus out of her? This is a horrible story. They always do this in movies. They get these super hot chicks who are supposed to play regular people, which is fine. I mean, not every super hot chick is a supermodel and a millionaire, but they're still super hot chicks, and guys can recognize them. You know what I mean? Like, Charlize Theron is still her. It's still her. Yes.
Yep.
That's the way it works.
Suspension of disbelief that you can't do.
Yes.
Right?
How do we make her super hot and have nobody attracted to her?
There you go.
There you go.
They filmed a movie with her in our neighborhood a couple months ago, and I went up and talked to the policeman. They're like, oh, yeah, I recognize her. She's got quite a mouth on her. It was the cops.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, let's
finish with Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
So the lithium, Tracy, right?
Yeah.
That must be for other symptoms also, right? Your moods are kind of labile all over the place.
So you almost have an orgasm when you hear Keanu on the show?
That accelerated affect, mood, to the point of having an orgasm is something that can be part of bipolar illness.
Now, what is it about him you like? I mean, you like his looks?
I like his voice.
I'll tell you, if his voice gives you an orgasm, you can. I'll tell you who else sort of reminds me of him as a. Well, he's not an actor, but when I hear him speak, is Stephen Hawking. He uses the voice synthesizer, which is slightly more convincing than Keanu's acting.
This conversation can serve.
No, that's not right. Pure synthetic voice. All right. So, Tracy, that's good. Now, how are you? Wait a minute. You're 32 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake, baby. What went wrong? What went horribly wrong?
What didn't go wrong?
Oh, baby. What happened?
Well, I've never met my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I was molested by my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by somebody else in the family because my mom didn't want two kids.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time I was growing up, I was always compared to my, my aunt raised me, and I was always compared to my cousin as far as, like, looks and grades in school and my job and everything.
All right. Well, what do you do now?
Actually, I just lost my job.
Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I have a son.
Oh, my healthy.
10.
All right. You taking care of him?
Yeah.
Where's daddy?
His dad
Mm-hmm.
He's actually in prison.
Good times. All right, listen, no more kids, right?
I'm not.
Are you on other medicines besides lithium?
No.
Okay, well, you've been through a lot, and it's not unreasonable to think that you might need some pharmacological assistance. I mean, your brain gets assaulted by all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, to just need some lithium to stabilize mood is very minor compared to what many people take after the history that you've been through. I mean, she kind of got it together in her own way.
Yeah?
She's able to take care of kids. She's not in any chaotic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets a little weird around Keanu's image.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we're going to, like I said, maybe it's that sort of staccato monotone that she turns her on.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it sort of induces like a pre-seizure kind of state.
No.
It's like a flashing light.
I will not come up to your apartment and F you. I don't care how hot you are. I must go in early to the office tomorrow. I am buttoned up and uptight. It is your job to get me out of my shell.
But he's always a surfer. You got to throw the surfer to him. Even when he's like a lawyer, FBI.
He's like, a dude.
Whoa.
Whoa.
All right. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Matt, who's 27, wants to know what do we think of antibus?
Antabuse.
Is that what they call the antabuse?
Mm-hmm.
That's a drug?
Do you want to talk about that or want to take something different?
Oh, well. We'll take everyone's call after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Let's hop back to the phones. And
I guess we're off the air in Los Angeles right now.
All right.
The tower fell over with the winds here, right? Okay. Let us know we're back on. Anderson.
Drew.
Yeah.
Here we go. Why is that relevant to the other people that aren't in Los Angeles who can't hear
us?
Well,
we might hear about it as the show goes on.
He's letting LA know that they're knocked off.
Yeah, see?
Drew only knows how to do bad radio. It's that or no radio. It's Drew's policy. It's his New Year's resolution.
Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Hope you had a great vacation.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like I should apologize for living in Florida, but... First off, I need to say, Drew, you really changed my life and helped me realize that I have a drinking problem and I need help. And
fantastic.
Even though I've had a few sessions with a therapist, I feel like I've learned way more from listening to your show. Actually, I tape the show every night and listen to it in my car.
Wow. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. So what's up?
Well, anyway, I'm calling about disulfiram or antabuse.
Yeah.
I learned about it by researching it online. And mentioned this to my primary care physician. He said it wasn't a good drug for me. And then I mentioned to the therapist I've been seeing, and he thought it wasn't right either. But neither of them could really give me a reason why they thought it wasn't right. So I wonder if I can get your take on it.
All right. Antabuse has no real use in recovery. The only time it's useful is if somebody is having extraordinary difficulty containing impulses and maintaining abstinence.
Makes you sick when you take
it? It makes you violently ill, potentially lethally ill. It can threaten your life, make you so sick. But antabuse, look, if you're going to drink, you're just not going to take your antabuse, you're going to go drink, number one. So antabuse all does is it gives you another level of structure that contains an impulse. In other words, if you're one of those people that can't drive by a liquor store because the craving is so profound.
Yeah,
I know you're that way, Adam. Mm. And you need something that in your mind you think, well, if I drink, I'm going to get violently ill.
Yeah.
That's not recovery, by the way. That has nothing to do with recovering or treatment of your addiction. Nothing whatsoever.
Well,
recovery is a 12-step process. You got to go to AA. You got to get the sponsor. You got to do the steps. That's how people recover from this disease.
Well,
because if you wanted to drink, you just wouldn't take the antabuse.
Well, if you take the antabuse, you take it every day.
Yeah.
And
unless you want to drink, then you skip it and go drink.
You just skip that pill that day.
Yep.
You could be on it for a year, skip that pill Monday morning and go out drinking Monday night, and no problems whatsoever.
Probably no problem, yeah.
So it's something you got to have in your system.
Yeah, and there's some studies being done in antabuse that's sort of like the Depo-Provera or the old, what the hell is the name of that stuff you used to put under the skin for the birth control? I forget what
it's
called. Norplant. That kind of thing for antabuse. And that makes some sense. But again, there are plenty of alcoholics that still will drink and get...
Oh, you mean like taking antabuse, putting it on your skin and having it there for 3 months?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Having it absorbed slowly.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to... I put Matt on hold for a while because his line was so crappy. Oh, I think
I
pressed
that ticket.
All right,
Kelly?
Kelly?
Hello?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, where's Brian tonight, by the way? Call screener Brian's not here.
Who cares?
I didn't even notice. It's been like 2 weeks since we've been here.
I know. I just noticed Brian wasn't here.
Yeah. You know, I ran into phone screener Damien, ran into him about 3 or 4 weeks ago at a Christmas party. Couldn't come up with his name.
Oh.
I mean, for like the first 10 minutes, I was like looking at him and saying, I know that bald dude. Huh. And I was like, hey, that's that phone screener dude.
Did he have any material for you to go over or anything?
No. No. But you know what? Once in a while, like, I can't remember anyone's name. Yeah. And people know it,
yeah.
And they sense it, and they get angry with me. But once in a while, like, if you can't remember your mom's name or your sister's name, you don't get busted on it. Because sometimes you know people and have worked with people for so long and know them so well that they don't even question it.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah. I realized I was safe with him. Because I'd be like, hey, what's up, buddy? And he'd know I wasn't not knowing his name by calling him buddy because right. We'd worked together for 2 years every night.
Well, the difference between not knowing someone and not knowing their name. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The fact that you don't know their name is just the moment and stuff. People excuse that. They really sense that you really know them.
But not if you worked with someone every night for a year or something. And they quit 10 days earlier.
Like you said, you don't come up with your mom's name sometimes. It's just people understand that sometimes.
No, they don't.
Huh?
Kelly?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
All right. So what are you doing? You got a plucking habit?
Yeah, it's like everything besides like the hair on my head. I have a thing that I have to like compulsively just to tweet them out.
Every hair in your body?
Yeah.
Pubic hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's...
So are you completely bald?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, except for my arms, but like everywhere else I am.
Your head?
No, she said except... That. That's like the one part...
Except your head.
I don't do it. Except my head and my arms.
How about your eyebrows, eyelashes?
Well, my eyebrows are perfect, but I don't touch my eyelashes because that hurts way too much.
Mm.
All right. And what about like your underarms?
Yeah, I do that too.
Good times.
Ouch.
You do it with your fingers?
No, I use, like, tweezers.
Mm. All right.
So,
my friend had read something on that. Like, they compulsively do that, like, tweezing and stuff. But she couldn't remember the name, and, like, I'm wondering what that is.
It's called trichotillomania.
Like, what?
This is why you couldn't remember the name. Trichotillomania. And it's an obsessive-compulsive disorder.
It is?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is kind of weird. Do you do anything else? Any excessive hand washing or, you know, don't...
Yeah, hand washing. I'm kind of... I have a thing about clean hands.
Yeah, that's obsessive compulsive disorders. And those things, if you're not anxious and not depressed and, you know, otherwise sort of okay, those kinds of things are very easily treated with medication, typically.
I'm compulsive about eating things off the ground.
Really? You like to eat stuff off the ground?
That's my thing.
And off other people's plates, too. I've noticed that.
Other people's plates, taking swigs off other people's beers.
Yeah, anybody's.
Or juices.
Not just the guy sitting next to you.
No, if I'm walking down the hall and I see some room service stuff out on
the
floor.
Oh, French fries. I've seen you just devour those.
Well, let me tell you my thought on stuff like French fries and grapes. Those are separate foods. Each fry is a separate meal.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. No one's soiled that.
Yeah, it's one thing.
But now, mind you, you take it and you douse it in their ketchup.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If somebody has a grilled cheese sandwich, you take a bite out of it, and there's a half a grilled cheese with a bite out of it, that's soiled grilled cheese, which I would still gladly eat, but I understand people that don't. But when there's a bunch of grapes down there, and someone's eaten 10 grapes, but there's 10 more, those are all separate meals. Just like the French fries are to me. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
I agree with you.
And listen, who are we kidding? There's so much crap floating around.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Let me ask you this, Drew, because I was just talking to
someone about
this.
You're asking the wrong guy, but go ahead. Because as a physician, you get kind of like desensitized.
Okay.
I've talked to other doctors
that way, too.
You stop washing your hands. You start eating stuff off the ground. It's like, there's so much stuff out there anyway. It's like, what the hell?
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. If we could take a look with an electron microscope as to what was on everything that we touch, everything that's in our environment, it would be grotesque.
Yes.
You would kill yourself.
You couldn't
And
move.
If you got high, you would kill yourself immediately.
Mushrooms, your head would explode.
Right. Yeah. It would just look like some kind of crazy Dr. Seuss book in your head, right?
Right.
Now, I just assume all of that is going on anyway.
Right.
Like, How does that potato make it from the field in Idaho, pass hands through all the migrant field workers, into the rest of the Latino guys in the kitchen?
Not to mention the poisons they spread.
All the pesticides and all the junk, whatever's in the water. These guys chop it all up. Then they throw it in a vat of boiling oil. Then it goes on a plate. God knows where the plate, what was on the plate, who handled the plate, all that stuff. Then they put it on a cart and they roll it up to some guy's room service. Why is the fact that it's been sitting in the hall for 10 minutes make it lethal?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Let's face it. There's a million things that can go wrong.
People think that other people's hands and mouths have touched it.
Absolutely not. And you know what we do as a society? Mm-hmm. We're high as a kite. We eat churros from some vendor on the street, and we decide that's okay.
Right.
We go get a lap dance with some chick rubbing a crotch all over your forehead while you're loaded. That's okay. But if a guy took a bite off this fry, you can't take a bite off it either because you don't know where his mouth has been.
How about our ritual now of washing after we go to the latrine? Our hands don't touch anything except our zipper now because the thing's all automatic, right? You go to an airport, the thing flushes itself. You're not touching anything. You're not even touching your penis, really. You're just touching the zipper.
Right.
Better wash your hands before you leave.
Well, not me.
Yeah.
I walk out with big clobs of crap on my knuckles and up in my hair and on my belt. Yes. I'll wait till I get sick and die, and then I'll learn my lesson with this stuff. Until then, I'm eating off the floor. I ain't washing my hands. I scratch my nuts like a madman and then floss.
Well, you know what it is? If
hands
we ever do
stuck
get
in
a
my
epidemic
mouth.
Of something like smallpox or something, then this
then
will
we
be
can do
very
it.
Relevant.
Until then, it's just nothing but compensation. It's people trying to control an environment that they're frightened of.
Hmm.
Rochelle?
Yeah. Hi.
Hey.
They put me on birth control because of, I'm bipolar, and my medicines weren't working real well.
Hmm.
And so they were trying to get my hormones stabilized and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought maybe that birth control would help.
Mm-hmm.
Is that valid?
Yeah. That will help with your mood, possibly.
Okay. And then also, they told me to take it in the very morning when I first got up.
Mm-hmm.
If I miss it, can I take it that night?
Yes. Okay. You're not trying to use it for contraception, right? You're just using it for...
Not currently.
All right. If you're using it for contraception, it's still probably okay to take it at night.
Okay. And if you are using it for contraception, does it matter, when in the cycle of pills that you do have sex, or is it just...
You're protected all the way.
Okay, cool.
Well, once you've started it, though.
Yeah.
It can't be the first day you take the pill.
Okay, but once you're on it for a while, then...
Yeah, typically people would say wait one cycle.
Okay.
All right.
That's a month. Is that a month?
One month, yeah, it's a month.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All good.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Hey, good times.
All right.
Bye. All righty. Let's talk. Ate a lot of jerky when I was out on vacation.
Why?
I just decided that's my thing. I like jerky now.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that's been around, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo jerky's been on some Eskimos clothesline for 10 years.
And what, it's been cooked? No.
It hasn't?
Baked in the sun, basically, dried.
Who knows what kind of crap's on there? Ain't a ton of... Yeah, turn into a jerky guy.
They give you, TMJ or anything? I'll let you chew on this.
Yeah. No, but gas? It's good. It's
diarrhea.
Yeah, gas. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good times. Finally,
yeah.
Found something.
It's good for when you're on the road. I drove to Utah.
Oh, your wife must have.
It's nice, and it's great too because I like to talk while I'm eating jerky, and I can't breathe, and I gotta yell about whoever's driving in front of me.
Oh my God! I'm surprised she didn't jump out of the car.
She tried. I locked the door. Had the childproof things on there.
Oh my God!
All right, let's take a little break, Drew.
All right,
we'll. Do that when we come back. We'll speak to Sam. Is 27 want to know how they take out the egg when someone donates it? And like I said, they don't donate the egg. They sell the egg. Mm. Let's just call it what it is.
Mm.
All right. We'll tell you how that's done after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Let's get back to phones. We'll speak to Sam. Sam is 27. Sam?
Hello.
Hello.
So, I was thinking about donating an egg.
We're going to let her get away with that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm.
You think about selling an egg.
Yes.
How much?
I guess they're going to give like $2,500.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to take the money and give that to a charity or something?
Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to use it to go to school.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I wasn't going to use them anyway.
Hold on. I'm thinking of donating my car. Mm-hmm. Five grand.
Nice.
You want to buy it?
No, donation. Donate it to me.
Well, I'm donating it. I'm getting paid.
You're just going to collect $5,000 for it.
That's right.
You're not going to use the eggs anyway?
No.
Yeah. I like that reasoning.
We're
just
going to
slough off with the uterus, the uterine lining. Who needs
them? No, women.
Put these eggs to good use.
Do women have an infinite supply of eggs?
For their premenopausal function.
Once.
They have a genetically determined number of cycles, and then that's that.
Before menopause sets
in. But they won't use up their eggs by collecting more.
So wait a minute. Let me just get this straight. All right. Menopause sets in usually early 50s for a woman, right?
40 to 60, yeah.
And menopause basically says these aren't your childbearing years. You're not having your period anymore.
Ovary just shuts down, stops maturing eggs. And
you're not dropping an egg.
Right.
Okay. Which is what the period is.
Mm-hmm.
Every 6 times a year?
Some women.
Okay. Every woman I've been with feels more like 18 times a year. Is that possible?
Possible.
Okay, but here's the thing. What's the average period number? You know, I mean, period starts at 13, average age 13, average age ends at 53.
Yeah, something like that.
You got 40 years of periods.
Times 12.
4 times 12 is 48.
Like 500 eggs, something like that, right?
So like 500 periods would be like roughly 1,500 tampons. I'm going to work this out. But so here's what I'm saying. You drop the egg, and so if a young woman wants to have one of her eggs harvested, she's going to have another one coming at that time next month, right?
Well, when they harvest eggs, they don't just collect one. They hyperstimulate the ovaries, and they get as many as they can to sort of grow on the surface of the ovary,
mm-hmm.
and then they suck out all of them.
So what's it do for your period? Does it do anything to your period?
It can screw it up for a little while, but not necessarily.
Okay. And the data's still out, really, on this, isn't it, a little bit?
You would think that we'd start to see more problems if it really were an issue.
No problems, as far as we know. All right, so Sam?
Yeah?
$2,500, that's pretty cheap.
Well,
is that per egg or per harvesting?
You know, there was an ad in the college newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of funny. Like it said, contribute to a miracle, donate your eggs, and then underneath it said, you know, we'll give you $2,500 for your time.
Yeah,
no, that's for the harvesting.
Yeah.
And I heard that. I was talking to a friend who's, she's already on her way to doing it. They're going to give her some kind of hormone injections or pills or something.
Yeah, you basically become an incubator. I mean, they really take over your system, and it affects your mood. It affects everything. You feel pretty awful for a while. Oh, yeah.
But it's so ridiculous, that wording, though. It's like, if sell your eggs, that you just
like
sound like a cross between a prostitute and Mangala at this point, right?
I'm putting my body into a farm.
Yeah, some sort of Nazi scientist prostitute. But donate your eggs. Oh, you're Mother Teresa. All right, so you're gonna donate the eggs, get your money.
They're gonna hyperstimulate your ovaries. They cause all these different follicles to start developing. Then they will either go in through a laparoscope or a long needle through the wall of the vagina and suck out all those eggs.
And don't they want to know, how tall you are, what color your eyes are,
sometimes
that kind of stuff?
They take all sorts of information, and I heard they can give all that information to the child when it's like 18 years old.
Right.
So, I mean,
that didn't freak you out a little bit?
No, not really. I mean, I think I'm not really planning on having any children.
And how about the kid knowing that $2,500 is what it costs to get mama to part with the eggs? I mean, that's kind of the bargain basement
of
the egg prices.
Sam a little bit. 27,
well,
still in school, definitely not having kids.
I thought a lot about that aspect of it.
Her body is just sort of a receptacle for.
What happened to you, baby? What's going on?
Oh, what happened to me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really want to go into my whole life story, but yeah, I've been traumatized.
Yeah,
but
we get that.
Basically, I really feel like I could use this money to better...
We get that. We're all for that. Just curious that you're so adamant about not having kids and not having relationships. And
where are you going? Are you going to junior college?
No. Oregon State.
No. Actually, I want to go to the Sushi Academy down in Venice.
Okay.
Sushi Academy?
First off, that's a strip bar. It's just a clever name for a strip bar. You don't understand. There's no actual chef school over there.
Sushi Academy and the Oyster...
Oyster House. That's another place that I thought was a... Now, Sam?
Yes?
What are you doing now?
I'm hanging out at work.
What kind of work do you do?
I work in a sub shop.
Sub shop?
Sub shop. Okay. Yes. And you make sandwiches?
Yes.
You know, when I get the cold cut sandwich, or even the turkey sandwich, I like a little oil and vinegar dressing.
Yeah, they get
that's for me. Yeah. You got that there? Okay. You're not going to college, are you?
No, I already went to college.
Right.
I just went to a community college.
Right. Okay, Drew. Of course.
Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right.
This is sub-junior college, sub-shop junior college here. Okay, so sell the egg. Why not? And you got to use every penny of that to send yourself to sushi school.
It sounds like she's intent on trying to pull herself up by the bootstraps, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she seems pretty focused and intent. That's all right. It's good.
What's up with those Japanese, Drew?
What?
Well, because they're people that are very reverent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, culturally.
Yeah.
Like, they're not big. They don't go to movie theaters and start screaming at the screen like the blacks do. They're very reverent.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Contained.
You want to know something? I don't know. It just popped in my head, but. Biggest upset in boxing history is when Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Like 10, 12 years ago. They fought in Japan, couldn't hear the crowd.
Wow.
But they don't, you know, they sit and clap.
Wow.
If that was in Vegas, place would have been going berserk.
A riot, yeah.
People on their feet, people screaming.
No, fighting in the
yeah. Black guys bashing each other over the head with cell phones. They use that as a weapon, those people, you know. The white man uses a weapon, but it's a white-collar weapon.
I see.
We use it to call insider stock trading, things like that. That's how the Jewish man uses a cell phone, Drew. Worse than the black man bashing it over the guy's head, I would say.
Understood.
Do you think when black guys get cell phones, they have to pay for extra insurance because they bash each other over the head with the... I see that all the fights. Whenever the fight breaks down, all the cell phones come out and the black guys start bashing each other over the head.
Here in the hizzle for chisel.
But here's the thing. But when you go into a Japanese restaurant, it's the only restaurant where all the guys behind the counter yell at you when you walk in.
So
hey, what is that? These people cannot decide on what their culture is. It's a bunch of bowing and handshakes, and everyone's wearing a tie and all buttoned up. And then you go into the restaurant, and everyone's yelling at you.
Yep.
Which is it?
I don't know. That's both, right?
All right.
It's on their terms.
I say that's compensation, Drew.
For
being all buttoned up the time.
I see. They got to let it out in inappropriate places.
Right. Yeah. I always feel weird, too, because you walk into a sushi joint, and everyone's like, "Hey, Shidoshi!" And then everyone kind of turns and looks at you, and then I'm like a C-list celebrity, so I'm weird. Now everyone's like looking at me, and then you want to say something back, but you don't want to overdo it. You want to do I end up doing a little Heil kind of move, like, hey, hey, Heil. Like, I don't know what to do. It's like, yeah, how's it going? And I feel weird because I don't go in there that much, and I'm not going to sit at the counter.
Oh, you don't? Oh. Why not?
Because you sit at the counter, and it's they got guys on either side of you, and the guys are yelling at you and stuff.
And you can't eat off other people's plates.
You're looking at the fish. Yeah. You're looking at the fish heads and everything. No, I like to sit in a booth. Mm. But I never know what to do. What do you do, Drew, when you walk into a Japanese restaurant? Hey!
Look at the floor.
You got to acknowledge them.
No, just look at just go right for the seat. Just go.
Like roll?
Yeah.
Like do a shoulder roll and then crawl into the seat?
Yeah, dive if you have to.
All right. We got time here. John?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah. I have a question about smoking weed.
Yeah.
About how your brain cells recover. Can you rebuild new brain cells?
Probably. It depends what age you're smoking the pot, and it's not fully understood yet. But the one good news about pot is that everything does seem to recover. The bad news is that if you started smoking when you were 12, 13, 14, you miss some of the developmental landmarks that you normally would have gone through it sort of blunts the growth and development of your brain during periods of time when you really are growing emotionally. And the way you manage your emotions are with the pod as opposed to the experiences of life, and your brain doesn't develop normally. You got to go through those experiences.
How do you get your brain cells? Is there exercises for your brain?
That's an interesting question.
Food for your brain?
You know, using your brain is probably healthy. It's recently been shown that using cognitive exercises, you know, challenging your mind may protect against Alzheimer's.
Really?
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? Using those circuits. The brain circuits are set up through use, and so if you keep, you know, applying them, it makes sense that they stay established.
So it's like if you got up every morning and did a crossword puzzle and a math equation, you would stave off Alzheimer's.
People don't know what kind of mental activity, but just working and staying focused and staying mentally sort of on top of things that probably...
What about my 14 hours of TV every day?
Oh, yeah, that's brain growth. That and maybe smoke a little pot and do some mushrooms. That will, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Fantasy answer.
Yep, that's my regimen. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. We're back from Extendo vacation.
Extendo.
And ready to...
Remax vacation.
Ready to get back to work. I was watching, as I said, 14. Like I said, I normally watch 7 to 9 hours of TV a day, but on the break, you know, jumped from 14 to 19 hours of television a day. And I was watching this, but I like to watch all this History Channel things and that kind of stuff. I saw a whole documentary on the original Siamese twins.
Oh, yeah, the Barman and Bailey twins?
Yeah, they're like... Yang and Chang or something, and they were like one quarter Siamese and whatever the hell they were. But the point, they were Chinese, I guess, ultimately. So they're like three quarter Chinese, and mom came from Siam or something. But anyway, they're attached at the side, but they had, you know, they had their legs, and they had four arms, I mean, between the two of them four legs. And they really just had this little... just a little connection, piece of tissue that really kind of at the hip.
Yeah.
And I think they shared a liver, I think. But anyway.
No,
They could have cut them in half, I think. But
today,
they never.
Today would have been no problem.
Today they would have done it.
But they had two husbands?
They had two wives.
Oh, they were males?
Yeah, the male Siamese twins.
Oh, I thought the original were females.
No. You've seen the old pictures and everything.
Yeah.
Chinese guys in the bad suits, but here's the thing. They had two wives. I always like when they do this, too. It's like one of them drank a lot and the other didn't touch booze and all that kind of stuff. One of them kept a really messy house. The other was very fastidious and kept a very tight ship. And they married two women who were sisters. And
how weird is that?
It's pretty weird. But who else are they going to marry if you really think about it?
No,
but
what?
Them getting married?
How do they have sex? With the sisters and the next?
Okay, here's why they ruin all document. Here's how all documentaries and all these History Channel things, they all go south for me. They then casually explain that they married, that they lived in, I don't know, North Carolina, that they kept two homes, and that they had 21 children between the two of them. Then they immediately keep moving on. In 1921, Yang... started a softball league. It's like, ho, ho, ho!
Whoa, wait a minute here.
21 kids between the two Siamesers. And I think it's funny to me, by the way, is I immediately go, well, one had 10 and the other had 11. There's no possible scenario that, like, one couldn't have 12 and the other could have 9. I have to do as close to splitting as possible because they're attached.
Right.
I don't know why that, but... Okay, so 21 kids between the two of these Siamese twins.
Wow.
And they're attached at the hip. So I immediately start thinking, now, first off, what position can you do? Now, this is before artificial insemination and fertility campaigns. Getting it on, these guys.
Do they have, like, somebody put earplugs on, or they do it together simultaneously, all four of them?
Well, think of the positions. I mean, you're limited because you can't really do it in a missionary position because your brother's right next to you. And her foot would be going into the guy's nuts. I mean, the only position you can do it in is sort of a doggy-style position.
And you need, and maybe one of them, like... what if
And the other guy has to participate.
Or what?
I mean, he can't... he can't hold as still as, let's say, Keanu Reeves does when he's acting and have the other guy successfully have sex. He's got to get his nutsack swinging in unison with the other guys.
They came up with ways of sort of like watching TV or distracting themselves. They weren't sort of into it.
I would imagine that you would like some sort of partition. I mean, like on your honeymoon and stuff. Like, who the hell wants your brother watching you bang the bejesus out of your wife?
The sisters.
And the two are sisters.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Oh, my God.
21 kids.
21 kids.
21
What happened to the kids?
I don't know. I don't know. And by the way, genetically, aren't you sort of tempting fate just a little bit? When you have 21 kids and you're joined at the hip with this guy, from a genetic standpoint?
Yeah, I don't think that's a familial thing.
Okay, but they probably didn't know it. You know, this is turn of the century.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, my God.
21 kids. And by the way, the History Channel didn't even bat an eye. Didn't even slow down. And to me, now you have to scrap the rest of the History Channel documentary and talk about how they had sex for the next 42 minutes. That's it. That's all I can think of now. Partition?
What?
I don't know. Blanket? Maybe.
Earplugs?
I'm just put in earplugs and put this eye shade on. I'm going to bang my wife. But you have to move, too. We're attached at the hip.
You have to do something. Oh, you're going to feel the pulling anyway. Hey, my liver.
You got to do doggy. That's your only, right? No,
I don't see anything. I guess female superior if only one wife was active.
What's female superior? What is that? Woman, her on top?
Yeah. If only one couple is doing their thing and the other one sort of.
Yeah, but then her knee is in the other guy's groin.
Just kind of scoot out of the way a little bit. Maybe they had a chair that they kind of sit around back to back.
Okay, Drew, stop thinking about it, would you, buddy? Jesus Christ, they had sex. Get over it. Justin?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Me and my girlfriend have been going out for about 6 months now, and she brought up the idea that we should have sex, right? Mm-hmm. But then every time we go down to it, she backs out, like, every time, and it's happened, like, 3 times.
How old is she?
She's 18, actually.
Ooh. Has she had sex with anybody else before?
No, she's a virgin.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Siamese twin?
Not that I know of.
We're going to have to interview every caller.
I'm going to ask from now on. All right. 18. Is she a religious person?
No, she's not.
Does she tell you why she's ambivalent?
No, she didn't. I mean, well, she says she's scared and nervous and all that.
And maybe she's not ready to have sex yet.
Well,
do you get oral sex?
If she could tell me that she just didn't want to have, I get oral sex too, but, you know, if she could tell me that she just didn't want to have sex with me, that'd be fine. But it's the fact that, you know, she keeps bringing it back up. Like, in theory, she wants to have sex with me, but in practice, she won't do it.
Why don't you just make it clear to her that you understand she's not ready, this ambivalence is tough on you, and then when she's really ready to go ahead, to let you know, and that'll be that. But in the meantime, no more back and forth. Unless she's completely ready to go, she should just kind of let it go for a while.
Yeah. And it's not the part that she brings it up. You know, Justin's like, it's not that she doesn't want to have sex or I don't get sex. It's the fact that she brings it up.
Right.
And then that this is like, is the male version to the females. It's not that he cheated. Yeah. It's that he lied.
Right.
I love when they do that. So, you mean, if I just banged your best friend and was straight up about it, we'd have no difficulties here? You and I'd be all squared away?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's the fact that he lied. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've known this girl for about 2 or 3 months now, but I only saw her in passing. It was like, hey, how you doing? And then a couple weeks ago, I grew some balls and asked for her number.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see her?
Part-time, I'm an assistant manager at a video store, and she'd come in and rent movies.
All
right. Mm-hmm.
Finally, I get her number. And I've been calling her. We've been calling each other for about 2 weeks now. Well, you know, I'm interested in her, want to date her, and she, like, she's flirty. Very, you know, I don't want to call her a tease, but, you know.
What's the question for us? Okay, what's going on?
Well, I'm talking to her, and then last night, you know, she said, you know, I like you. you know, but I don't know if I want that right now. But previously during our conversations, she had said, like, you know, but there are, like, four guys I'm interested in, and I wasn't included in that. And then last
you didn't make that cut? Were you in the top 20?
Very kind of her to lay it out like that for you, though, huh?
Yeah, and I was kind of like, she told me, you know, two nights before that she liked four other guys, and then she tells me last night that, you know, she likes me as well. And I'm like, what happened? Did the four other guys say no? And I'm thinking, ha-ha, that's kind of funny. You know, I'm just joking. She might think it's funny, too, because she has a very playful personality, you know.
Yeah.
And so she's like, all of a sudden cuts it off. She's like, now I'm really upset. I'm like,
All right. Listen. This is turning into General Hospital, for Christ's sake, at the video store. This chick's a little nutty. She needs attention. She's not that into you.
Yeah.
She's going to string you along.
Right.
The only possible scenario in which she would be interested in you is if you didn't show any interest in her.
None.
Now, okay. Brian, listen to me. As you know, I'm a self-proclaimed genius, and you man the counter at a video store.
Yeah,
that's why you need to listen to me right now.
Yeah.
You need to mysteriously stop calling her.
Okay.
Do not call her and explain to her why you're not going to call her. Just don't call her.
Yeah.
Then, when she comes into the video store in a few days and questions why you didn't call her, you're very matter-of-fact about it. Oh, yeah, I was going to get with you. But anyway, what are you checking out? Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Give her like almost change the subject a little bit. Check her movie out, and then don't call her. And then a week later when she comes into the video store, she might bring it up again. That's when you smack her with it. Hey, listen, I get off here in half an hour. You want to go have a drink? That's it. You go right there. No more into the dance. She says no, you're gone.
And if she doesn't follow up at all, let it go.
That's right.
Yeah, because either way, you're out.
Right. Yeah.
You have one move, and that's it.
Well, here's the other thing, too, Drew. And we've never really talked about this, but I've gone out with plenty of women who weren't interested in me. As a matter of fact, all women before I got out of carpentry were not interested in me.
Interesting.
Now, here's how you can go out with a woman who's ambivalent, not that interested in you, got other guys to go out with. You make a date with these women in the distant future, like, hey, how about I get your phone number and we'll talk, and maybe sometime if the stars line up just right and you get stood up and you get a wild hair up your tukai that we could possibly go out somewhere if you got drunk enough. And, you know, no. Here's how you do it. You got to go now. You got to say to them, what's happening? What are you doing right now?
Let's go
out. And then you better start getting some booze involved. I hate to say it, but let's go out and let's get a drink. I got some tickets to this thing. Let's do it. Let's go. You might get them on an impulse. You might get them on a whim. You might go out and have a couple of cocktails and get lucky. This is not a long-term thing.
Right.
You ain't going to get a shot at this down the road.
Yeah.
And the longer it goes on, the worse it is for you.
Yeah. Because
she ain't interested. Mm-hmm. It's like a sale. You want to sell some timeshare, you might be able to get a guy to do an impulse buy.
Yeah.
But the more you talk, the more brochures you try to send him,
the worse
it's going to be. That's the move. Nikolai?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Huh?
What are you doing, goofball?
Shut up. No, I don't take ecstasy, but usually I crush it up and I put it in marijuana. And I smoke it, and I want to know, is that the same effect as just taking the pill itself?
I don't know if it's volatile. I've never heard of anybody smoking it, so I don't know.
What does it do to you?
He's
gay. Are you gay, Nikolai?
Yes, I am.
How dare you, Adam?
Do you get high when you do this?
Yes.
Does it feel like you're on ecstasy? Do you feel something different than just the pot?
Yeah. It gives me more of a rush.
But does it wear off faster?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Hold on a second. You explain to us what's different about taking it and smoking it.
He's never taken it.
Oh, you've never taken it. You've only smoked it?
No, I've taken it a couple times.
Oh, okay.
All right, explain to us.
What's different?
Thank you. And Drew, shut up, would you?
No, obviously he's never taken it.
Well, when I take the pill itself, it's just bomb.
It's what? Did he cuss?
Yes, he did. Poor Nikolai.
What did he say?
I don't know. Bomb as S or something.
Oh, it's just bomb as... Well, it was weird because
is
he
is that what he said?
What'd he say?
Anderson said that's what he said. I mean, he had to work at getting the S word in that time.
You got to talk to him again, though. That was great.
No. He didn't punctuate anything, so it wasn't...
But, I mean, think about that. He had to invent a phrase to put another S word or F word in there for us.
Nikolai.
Yes.
Don't cuss, would you?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, when you take it, when you eat it, you enjoy it.
Yes.
Okay.
When you smoke it?
What is the difference, please, between smoking it and eating it?
All right. When I eat it, the high lasts a lot longer.
Right.
But, like, I'm addicted to weed, so I intend to just mix it together. And it gives me a better rush of a high, but it just doesn't last as long.
Right. Well, that's what you would assume.
And I got another question, if it's all right.
Yeah.
And is it all right if I ask it?
Go ahead.
All right. I've had this, like, I went to a New Year's Eve party, and there was this guy that I've known for a long time, and I would have never known he was gay, and we ended up having, like, a one-night affair, mm-hmm. like a one-night stand, I guess you could say, and we were, we went in a laundromat, and you guess what happened there, but, like, recently he hasn't been trying to talk to me. And he acts like he don't know me or anything.
He went to one of those coin-op laundries?
Yeah.
Just open all night kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose the brightest neon-lit room in the city?
I was really drunk.
Right? Isn't every laundromat, like, brightly lit?
Yeah, it's disconcerting to be in there at night because anyone who walks by or drives by can see exactly what you're doing. It's like you put 700 watt bulb in your living room and pulled the curtains down and then just started doing new aerobics
or
something.
They all have huge window fronts.
Yeah.
None of them have a single door.
I got put in one of those dryers once.
I'm a wild person.
It was horrible.
By whom?
It doesn't bother me.
Right.
Ray put you in one of those dryers.
I volunteered.
You know how it is when you're drunk. You don't care.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, listen, Nikolai.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like you have a real promising future ahead of you.
I'm a fashion designer. I'm about to go out to L.A. at Otis University.
Oh, going to, is that Parsons?
Huh?
Otis.
It's Otis. Parsons is in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you may be sort of moving along in your training, but you're making some choices and you're getting addicted to things, and the path you're on is going to interrupt the path you'd like to be on. You know what I'm saying? The road to success.
You're on the Hershey Highway, my friend, and you're heading for trouble.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you, do you think this guy is really bi, or...
Listen, he lets you bang him in a laundromat.
Who knows what he is? He's a one-night stand with some chaotic,
and you're smoking
loaded.
A lot of weed and ecstasy. Just calm down, would you?
You got to get some sobriety. Just mark my words. A time will come when you have to get sober because this disease addiction is in full evolution in your situation, and it's going to have lots of consequences, and it's going to get bad before it gets better, and you're going to need recovery in order to pull out of this tailspin.
You ever climb into one of those coin-op laundry giant comforter dryers?
No, can't say I have. Was that something everyone should have done?
I've done it.
No doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you, like, crammed in there by one of your buddies, or?
No, I went voluntarily.
And they turned it on?
Oh, yeah.
You could kill yourself doing that.
It's more uncomfortable than you would imagine when it gets started, yeah.
How long were you in there for?
Oh, just, you know, a few moments. Not too long. I mean, you'd choke on your own vomit or something eventually. I mean, you're spinning around, and you're not spinning around like sort of sitting and spinning. Your ass is going over your head.
Yeah.
And there's hot air blowing up your ass, and the door latches from the outside. Like, there's no way getting it open once you're on the inside. And it's immediately uncomfortable. Like, the guy puts the money in, slams the door. You start going around, you make about five revolutions, and you're not feeling great. you're clumping around on your head. It's all metal in there. It's got these, like, fins that you're trying to hang on to. And there's hot air being blown
was
up.
Was this a dare? Was there money involved? Was it a bet?
No.
Just bored.
Just bored.
This is why kids pierce themselves. That's today's version of going into the dryer at the laundromat.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the reality is, if you were a teenager today, you'd have S coming out of your lips and your eyebrows.
I'd have my hood pierced.
Your hood would be pierced. It'd be like multiple amp lengths.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. It was funny. I was about 3 seconds into it before, and I thought to myself, God, does this suck? And then I thought, what the hell did you expect this was going to be like? It was going to be like Space Mountain or something? You're in North Hollywood. You're inside this metal comforter dryer, and you're upside down. You got hot air blowing up your ass, and your buddy Ray is the gatekeeper. And he ain't opening
like,
that door.
Like a hyena.
Oh, yeah. And you're just looking at him between your own legs as you spin over and over. Guy's just standing there laughing. And the door's latched on the outside.
How long did it go for?
Oh, they let you go till, you give the I'm serious call. Once you give that I'm serious call, you know.
I'm sick just thinking about
that's
that.
The Geneva Convention of buddies effing with each other. I'm serious!
You got out, did you puke or anything?
No.
You're fine.
That's fine. It's a little dinged up. You know, it dings your head. Your head's bashing on the thing and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good times. We all did it.
Oh, you all did it?
Yeah. It cost a quarter.
Were you number one?
I went number two on myself.
I know that, but were you the first one to go?
No, I think Ray got in there first.
Oh my God!
And we weren't 14; we were 20.
No,
this is what happens when you don't go to college, girl.
Oh my God!
You got time to kill.
I was picturing like 10.
Oh no, 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 no! We were adults.
Oh my God!
Yeah, good times. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kathy Griffin's going to be in here tomorrow night. She's a dear, 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 dear friend. Kathy, you know, from, I don't know, she's starting to become just like a name that you know, right?
Suddenly Susan.
Yeah. But stand up and all that kind of stuff. I guess he did like some HBO specials and stuff. I've known Kathy for like 15 years from way back in the day. All right, she's in here tomorrow. Is she doing like Celebrity Mole or something like that?
Yeah.
Is she on this latest one?
Yeah. There's only one.
There's only one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's coming up. All right, let's talk to Andy, who's 14. Andy?
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing much.
Great.
Yeah. Well, hey, I just wanted to say you guys are, like, really awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And I wanted to know, first, what happened to the Dr. Drew boogie?
Yeah.
I heard that a long time.
Hey,
I don't know.
Play it tonight.
You have it? No, Anderson says it.
Anderson doesn't like it because he didn't do it.
Well, oh. You kept telling me you were working on one. What happened to that? That was about 2 years ago, Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's Anderson's posture with the Dr. Drew boogie. He doesn't want to play it because he doesn't like it because he didn't do it, but yet he's not going to do one to take its place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ow! There it is. Get down.
You're gay.
Get down. You're sick. I find you have sex with me. Gee, it hurts to have sex with me. Maggot better have sex with me. I want to have sex with me. I was born. So I had anal sex. Gee, it hurts. I'm still a virgin. Tried to be straight. I thought I shouldn't be straight. I was confused. Pee on this makes me sick. Hurts when I urinate. Makes me sick. Anal sex makes me sick. This guy's penis makes me sick. I've had anal sex.
Penis.
I got these lesions. Gee, it hurts. Still a virgin. Makes me sick. It's called intimacy. Can I say that? You're fat.
Ow!
You're gay. Confused.
Ow!
You're sick. You're overweight.
Ow!
You're still a virgin. You're dysfunctional.
Ow!
Not acceptable.
Dr. Drew is right.
A minty fresh cooch.
Oh, wow.
Now I got to get more passionate.
Yeah.
When I still had a soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go, Andy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I wanted to know why all gay people kind of sound like they do.
Well, first off, not all gay people. 99.9% of gay people sound that way, but not all gay people.
Well, how dare you then?
Now, there's two theories I have of why the gay voice sounds different. A, when you join a group or you have a mindset, you sound a certain way, which is pro wrestlers sound a certain way.
Yeah, but they sound that way because they take steroids.
Black militants sound a certain way.
There he is.
Bigots sound a certain way. Angry people sound a certain way. White male Republicans start to sound a certain way, you know? But guys who are in the NRA sound a certain way.
When
you start thinking a certain way, you start sounding. Jocks sound, you know, you hear these pro athletes interviewed, they all sound the same. But so when you start, it's almost like you take on...
It's a persona.
It's like an affectation or persona. People do that in life.
Yeah.
People do it, you know, these guys that follow the rodeo circuit and stuff and wear the big belt buckles and the cowboy hats around, they start to sound alike. This is just sort of gay sound. Okay, well, here's my second theory. Penis ramming into the soft palate constantly.
That's it?
You know what I mean? Just an erect penis just jamming. Drew, who knows what that would do to you vocally?
It might do something, yeah.
I mean, you go down on a woman once in a while, but that's not intrusive.
Yeah.
Imagine essentially taking a couple pieces of rebar, duct taping them together, and jamming them in your mouth for an hour and a half every day, just repeatedly ramming it in your mouth. Tell me you wouldn't sound a little different. I take 3 pieces of number 4 rebar, and I take a 76 antenna ball, and I glue it to the top of it, and I just ram it in your mouth. Viciously face F you with this thing for up to 4 hours a day, every day.
Wait, I'm not sure I get what you're saying. I'm saying
it would affect your speech at a certain point, and this is what has happened to the gays. Yeah. Furthermore, I take this same 4 pieces of rebar that I've duct taped together. I put the 76 antenna ball on the end of it, the bright orange ball. And then I sodomize you viciously with it.
Oh, that would affect my voice.
For 8 hours a day. Wouldn't that affect your voice?
My voice, yes.
All right, then.
Now, but we associate...
Well, there you go.
Now, hold on. That voice was sort of an effeminate quality, don't we? Historically?
Yes.
But is it really that? I mean, maybe that's a coincidence that it sounds that way, and maybe it's indicative of an emotional posture.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, this is a dude trying to be a chick. That's what the gay voice is.
That's what people would have you believe.
I would believe.
I think that is stereotyping. I'm maybe not thinking.
You find this less offensive than my rebar sodomy equation?
A little, just a little. But
all right,
but
what about... But dykes are chicks who are trying to sound like guys.
But they don't really, do they?
Well, they put on some bib overalls and
look a little guyish.
Red wing boots, and they kind of can sound that way.
They sound tough, but they still sound like women.
What I'm saying is it's hard...
In fact... If our theories are right, you know, so more often than not, they sound like little girls.
Dykes?
Yeah.
No.
Because some of them have been abused and stuff?
No. Well, no.
Yeah?
No. Huh? No. Strippers sound like little girls.
All right.
Okay, here's the deal. Dyke basically starts to become a man or wants to become a man or embraces the male life. So she starts dressing like a man. She cuts her hair like a man. She wants to make love to a woman. And... like a man would do, and starts embracing this lifestyle of, you know, sports and motorcycles and sports bars and stuff like that, and then starts to do her best to sound like a guy. But females do not have the vocal equipment to mimic the male speech. They can't sound like it. And males don't have the equipment physically to sound like a female. But when you try, it ends up just sounding gay. And when you're a dyke and you try to sound like a guy or think like a guy, you end up just sounding like a dyke. You see what I'm saying? This is what it is. This is males attempting to... they want to become women. That's what it is. Mm. That's what the gay life is all about.
I like Lunchables.
There you go.
So he doesn't sound gay.
Well, listen, Clive Barker has, the 76 ball and the rebar thing. Something has happened there.
I like Lunchables.
I don't know if it's, I think maybe the angle changed on it or something, and it actually hit him in the back of the trachea or something.
Maybe the ball fell off in the rebar, just smashed him.
The ball fell off, and he caught the rusted, sharp edge of the rebar.
I like Lunchables.
I don't know. No, listen, I love Clive Barker, but he has a strange voice. Like, I don't know.
I see.
I don't know what's up with his voice. Huh. I mean, it's English, and it's gay, and there's something going on. Do you know what's going on?
No.
But there's something going on with his voice.
He's like asthma or something. That's what it sounds like a little bit.
Yeah, but you never hear him wheezing.
Yeah, remember the other time he was in here? He was a little bit...
You could hear him breathe. Yeah, that's true. I thought he was just hot for me. Jamie?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
What? You were just talking about gay people and Lunchables and...
Right.
Gay people...
All right, Jamie.
I realize this is how the show sounds to everybody but us.
Oh, my God. I like Lunchables.
She's talking about Lunchables. Okay. Go, Jamie. What's up?
Okay, so my dad died, a month ago, right? And, he got really sick, and he's a Canadian citizen, so we had to go up to the hospital in Canada, in October. And so, we didn't get to see him that much.
Mm. What did he have? What, cancer?
Smoking.
Wait. Why was he in Canada?
He's a Canadian citizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's not been in your life very much.
No, he lived in America. He was an illegal alien down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So he died. And
Canadians
when he went
had illegal
there,
aliens. They're Canadian illegal aliens.
We have illegal aliens or Canadians. We just don't mind them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so when...
You know how there's good insects and bad insects?
I see.
Some actually help the garden. Others eat the tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's the way we look at our aliens.
I see. Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
The Canadians?
Good.
Good. Good insects.
Got it.
Good insects. All right, you do the math. Jamie?
Yeah.
Go ahead, you're 14. I explained to Drew about our borders.
So your dad was in your life but then left?
No. See, he got sick in, October. And so, really, really, really sick. He's been sick for the last, 6 years. So he got really sick, and he had to go to the hospital. And it's free in Canada.
I see. So that's why he went to Canada. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
So when he went up there, my memories of him, of everything, really, started to go away.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. And, and then when he died, all of my good memories now are, basically gone.
Wow. You need to try to retrieve that. Because that's just, you're trying to protect yourself against mourning the loss of something that you did have.
Right.
And try to think in terms of being grateful for what you had with him.
Right.
Okay? Gratitude is something that is healthy and important to be able to embrace. And when you feel grateful, it'll put you more in touch with what you did have, and hopefully you can kind of internalize that part of him, keep those experiences that you are grateful for in you. And then when you do that, naturally enough, you'll also feel the loss of the real person, and that's a painful thing to have to come to terms with at 14, but it's something that's important to come to terms with.
But at this point, you probably shouldn't be in too big a hurry to do anything.
Yeah, it's a normal thing to dissociate themselves from their feelings, but she could get in a permanent state here where those memories are locked out, and that's not
really?
A good thing. Yeah.
And so he lived with you. You were with him every day?
Yeah, I saw him every single day.
And he was your dad?
Yeah, but, he was actually my step-grandfather, biologically.
Whoa.
But mentally, he was my dad.
Your step-grandfather?
Yeah. I've never met my real grandfather. And my mom and dad got a divorce, when I was a baby, you know.
Hold on. We're trying to diagram this.
What? Okay, I live with my grandma now.
Where's your mom?
My mom's in Colorado and with my stepdad. I see her, every summer.
All right. Well, this is... Dissociation is a way that people deal with very heavy feelings when they've been traumatized. And all this abandonment and chaos in your life, you're sort of a setup for these kinds of
things. How old was he?
He was 74.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, but I can...
All right. Well,
oh, boy.
I got it. My dad died at age 14, first off, is like, well, he was a smoker.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, smokers don't die at 40.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. She's 14 years old. And I thought, no, that's just, that's propaganda. And then it, now it all works out because he was 74, and now that's about right.
Step-grandfather.
But it goes from my dad, and, you know, we don't have anyone who calls the show that actually knows their dad or lives with their dad, right. So it's, like, sad and ironic that the one person that actually lives with their biological father passes away at a remarkably young age. I mean, she's 14, you know. Even if he had her a little later in life, he'd still be under 50, you know. Yeah. And that's why I got a prod. Like, who calls this show who lives with their dad or even knows their dad?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you, it's funny. Like, you live with him? Yeah. You see him every day?
Every day.
Every day. You live with him. And then it gets downgraded to step-grandfather. I don't want to take anything away from it. But please, Jamie, when you're telling the story and you're saying, my dad passed away, and the person says, you know, your dad, but now, oh, your dad was a Canadian citizen, so you didn't live with him. Yeah. No, he lived here. I saw him every day. You know, okay. This then turning into the step-grandfather is a transition that would have been worth bringing up early on. I still know you guys were close, Jamie.
Yeah. But, like, okay, but, like, I can remember bad things.
Uh-oh.
So, like, that's weird to me because, like, I can remember, like, a few fights we got in.
Yeah, well, you know, you're trying to protect yourself right now.
But, then why do I remember, like when he abused me, you know?
What kind of abuse?
Now he's an abusive step-granddad.
No, like, one time he got really drunk and I'd been on vacation and, like, he didn't even remember it the next day.
All right, well, you're wearing cutoff, so you're kind of asking for it, right?
No.
What do you mean? How did he abuse you?
Well, like, he came into my room and, like, he tried to rape me and...
Oh, my God.
That's all I can remember.
All right, well, hold on. Save that story for the wake. you got to get up and say a few words. A few words at the funeral. What is this guy's nationality?
Well, he's English.
English?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Purebred. British.
Wow.
Yeah, he was born in, like, Nottingham.
Wow.
England. All right.
Yeah. All right, so he only tried to rape you once.
Well, yeah.
Which is way under the Loveline average for step-grandpas. Because, listen, here's the whole thing, like, for our callers, step-parent, that's a free ticket into the kids' room because, hey, there's no blood there. And step-dad, you know, that's hell. Why not rape? It's like having a second girlfriend under the same roof. But step-grandpa, oh, you got to rape. I mean, you guys are barely, there's no, not even a thread of connection here, right?
Oh, my God. Poor Jamie. Well, listen, Jamie, you've had a lot of trauma, and that's how you deal with stress, okay? This is how your brain deals with it. It disconnects, and it devalues. You probably over-idealize when you are involved with people, and then you devalue when they leave. It's not reality. You're not connected to reality at this point. It's inflation and then deflation.
Oh.
And more than that, it's, as I said, dissociation from your feelings. And this is stuff that really needs to be traded.
Think about what happened to this guy's report card in the 4 minutes Jamie was on the air with us. This guy went from a solid, one of the good insects.
Dad,
as I say,
there every day for me.
Living daddy.
Just went up to Canada because of, you know, healthcare issues and expenses.
To alcoholic, rapist,
step-grandpa.
Chain-smoking step-grandpa. All right, baby, just listen. Forget about this guy for now. Don't sort any feelings out.
Don't
get hooked up with any screwballs.
Right. Don't
you
get
watch,
pregnant.
Guys.
Don't get pregnant.
All right, we'll be back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kathy Griffin going to be in here. Dear friend.
Ooh.
Was that three or four deers?
Downgraded.
Four deers?
Used to be a deer.
Well, I went to her wedding.
Yeah, okay.
She went to my wedding. She's the only person whose wedding I went to that went to mine, I think.
Uh-huh.
And dear friend. I was listening to her on Howard Stern a few weeks back, and I heard her say, effed in the A, and it got through. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah. Driving my car, heard it on the radio. It's like I was cheering. I was like, but I became like D from What's Happening. I was like, ooh, someone's in trouble. Yeah. You don't hear F in the A in its full entirety.
Was she talking about herself?
No. Talking about someone else.
Oof.
And I'm going to F you in the A.
Whoa.
Yeah. And non-initialed.
Well,
it was nice.
We got something to talk about tomorrow night.
We got something to look forward to on this show, too. Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, you're 17.
Yes, I am. All right, so, like, I have sex every once in a while because I'm 17, and, well, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
like, Sir Walter Raleigh.
The tip of my penis gets really, really sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Are you circumcised or uncircumcised?
I'm circumcised.
Did you get what that was?
No.
Here's what it was. I'm circumcised.
Go ahead.
Are you circumcised or uncircumcised?
I'm circumcised.
I'm circumcised. Sounds like uncircumcised.
Yeah, this is the point, Eric. When you just have to say circumcised.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so like sometimes I can follow through and sometimes it gets like really bad to where I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's, I don't know, it's weird.
During intercourse?
Yes, during intercourse.
Are you on medication?
Not at all.
All right, well, this is just you. I mean, sometimes some people are that way.
Like, if I jack off and everything,
mm-hmm.
like, I can go through with that because I'm not touching the tip of my penis. But
right.
after I get done jacking off, if I touch the tip of my penis, it's like the same feeling that I get when I'm actually doing a girl.
Right. What if you put a condom on?
I always wear a condom. I'm not stupid.
All right.
Didn't mean to suggest you were stupid.
Sorry about it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay. Okay. What about lubrication? I don't know. So he's saying
lubrication inside the condom.
I don't know. Like he's saying the head of his penis is ultra sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey Eric, what about when it's not erect? When you're just walking around and it's banging against the side?
Oh no, dude, I'm fine.
Not sensitive at that point.
No.
So
not even when I get erect. It's just when I start doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like I could bang around when I'm erect everywhere.
He's maybe he's got a little estrogen flying around. Women get that way.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
That's like, whoa.
Yeah. You have man breasts?
No.
No, okay. All right, here's what I would recommend. I would recommend that he works on desensitizing his penis.
With masturbation? Work on the tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good advice.
When you masturbate, pay a little attention to the head of the penis, and might be a little uncomfortable at first, but then you kind of work it out a little bit.
Thicker condom?
Do they have those?
I'm sure.
All right.
Like, Trojan has all kinds of stuff.
No. The ones they use for, like, piercings or something?
Yeah. They reinforce at the tip, the piercings.
Yeah. Yeah. Angela?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yeah. I called you guys when Ben Stein was on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was calling about my brother before, but I wasn't able to ask you guys the question. He smokes pot a lot. Which that doesn't bother me. I'd rather him do that than drink.
Right.
But he doesn't go to school. He always, like, skips school and stuff.
How old is he?
He's 15.
And what do your parents think about that?
And my dad, I talked to you guys about my dad. He just kind of says, well, he's not going to stop doing it. And he listens.
Hello?
Had a lot of, wow. a lot of bad phone lines tonight. Now, I think she was saying he listens to this show, I don't know, or listens to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rest of that sentence was.
All she can do is try to get Dad to be a parent. Beyond that, people at school, enlist help of people in the community, that sort of thing. She can't do it herself.
Yeah. And here's the, I'll pick my teeth here for a second, but... Here's the sad, sad reality. I don't know anyone who did any kind of changing between the age of 15 and 30, to tell you the truth.
Oh, boy.
Idiots were idiots. Troublemakers were troublemakers.
That's nice.
And alcoholics, drug addicts, and those kind of people I knew.
Just getting going, then.
They were just getting started.
Mm.
It was like if their substance abuse was the equivalent to a night out on the town, they were just getting out of the shower. Just slopping on the aquavelva, getting ready to just trimming the pubes, just freshening up, ready to head out for a good long night.
By early mid 20s, they're getting going pretty good though.
Early mid 20s,
yeah.
In far as my buddies, early mid 20s, that'd be like 10:45, 11 o'clock at night. you know, got if go, men, going if, strong,
yeah.
still having a good time. And then later 20s, that now you're talking about, you're talking about 115. Still thinking you're having a good time, but maybe you've overdone it a little too much. Mm-hmm. And then as they got in their 30s, now it was like 345, and they were heaving on the side of the curb. And they, you know, just got done punching an ATM machine because they forgot their code. And, you know, now the cops, now they see the rollers in their rearview mirror, and they got a DUI. And that's eventually gets old. 15, your brother's smoking weed and staying home. Your sister, he ain't going to listen to you. But here's the point. Listen to me, everybody. Yeah, to me. That's right. Do not try to talk people into stuff they don't want to do. Screw them.
Oof.
Give them a little advice, and if they go for it, great. If they don't, fine. You move on.
Well, when they're family members, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do about it. You'll just kind of drag down with them. You make people aware. You know, if someone says, I'm going to commit suicide, you call the appropriate people. You tell your dad, hey, you know, Junior, smoking weed and hanging out all day. But listen, smoking weed and hanging out all day, 15-year-old Junior is not going to be listening to his sister.
I would modify a little bit and say that let people fall to whatever level they need to fall to suffer a sufficient consequence to motivate them to change, but realize that treatments do work. And people are ready for change, bring it on.
Yeah, sure, if they're ready. But he's 15. Right. Remember, he's just getting out of the shower on a long, long night.
Right.
We'll be back. That's the show. We're going to take a little extendo 22-hour break, and we'll be back with Kathy Griffin tomorrow night, dear friend, who is actually a super funny person and is always good on this show because she gives me a lot of crap. So you can look forward to that tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Viciously face F you with this thing for up to 4 hours a day, every day.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.